If you've heard many of my music interviews, you know I love a lot of different types of music. But there's one single figure who opened up my eyes to the transformative power of music and launched a lifelong obsession: Beethoven. So you can imagine how I felt when I saw one of my favorite writers on music, Jan Swofford, had completed a new biography of the great composer. The problem with interviewing him, though, is a big one. How can we cover the range of Beethoven's life in this 950-page book in one interview? Simple answer is, we can't. So we decided to focus on just a single work, a piece that changed the very nature of music, Beethoven's Third Symphony, the Eroica. Jan Swofford, author of Beethoven, Anguish and Triumph, joins me. Jan, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
So I want to start off by getting right to the music, and we can go right to the start of the symphony, because right in the beginning, the Eroica is weird. It starts with Beethoven practically punching you in the face.
For the beginning of a symphony, it's pretty aggressive. Yeah, I don't know anything before it quite like it. The cellos, and no symphony had the cellos ever taken the opening theme alone the way they do there. Beethoven really liberated the cello. In most classical symphonies, the cellos are just sawing along away with the basses, and Beethoven more and more gave them independent parts.
To give some context here, as Beethoven is working on the Third Symphony, he's also confronting the loss of his hearing.
Well, we can kind of understand this in modern terms as the full weight of a disability hitting him in the face. In 1802, he finally had to face the fact that he really was going deaf, and he really was not going to be a composer-pianist anymore, but just a composer. And his health problems, which were chronic and miserable on top of the deafness, were probably not going to go away, and his life was going to be wretched, essentially. And he was right. It was, to a large extent, physically. And then the Eroica came out, though I think he would have written the Eroica anyway. I think if that had never happened, he still would have written the Eroica. But from that point on, the next 7 years were just beyond belief and his output.
It's titled the Eroica, referring to a hero. The original hero he had in mind was Napoleon. Can you explain what Beethoven found heroic about Napoleon?
Well, in those days, Napoleon was in the full glory of his power. There'd never been anybody like him who sort of raised himself from nobody by his own bootstraps to be the most powerful person in the world. And his reputation among liberals and all over Europe was the man who was going to bring, you know, representative governments and good laws to all of Europe. He was going to complete the French Revolution. And so he was exalting Napoleon basically as a benevolent despot.
And how do we hear this character, this kind of revolutionary character, reflected in the music?
Well, in interesting ways. The first movement is the symbolic battle, but there's something very weird about it, which is that it's in 3-beat. It's in 3-4.
It's more dancing, music, more of a dancing meter.
It is. It's like a waltz in meter. You know, it has this sort of waltzy swing. The only explanation I can offer is that Beethoven wanted an abstraction of heroism without military music. But it takes the rest of the symphony for the kind of story to play out.
There is a march, but it's a funeral march.
Yeah, I mean, the logical thing after the battle, what do you have? You bury the dead. There's a funeral march, which I think is an absolutely French Revolutionary-style humanistic funeral march. It's not a hymn to God. It's a hymn to humanity, and it's so expressive and so tragic and so original musically, and there's a big horn fugue in the middle that to me is one of the greatest moments in music. That moment is one of the reasons I, and probably a lot of people, are musicians today.
And the finale, we're introduced to a melody that's kind of, it's sort of lopey and dull and kind of ugly.
The finale at the time defines what a lot of critics of the time called the bizarre. It was just incomprehensible because it starts off with this kind of militaristic eruption, and then it goes into this little, very simple bass line. Bum, 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 bum. Just absolutely nothing. But as I say in the book, it's a nothing on which anything can be built. It begins in this tone of very light dance music, and gradually becomes more and more sort of heroized. It becomes more and more heroic. And I think in the terms of the program, the finale is what the hero brings to the world, the ideal society which respects freedom and in which people like a Napoleon and a Beethoven can rise as high as their own abilities can take them.
You know, at the outset, I described the Eroica as a symphony that changed music. Do you think that's fair to say?
Absolutely. It showed how massive and ambitious and historic even a symphony could be. It was a revelation of individual personality in music, of a kind of powerful personality. He was an enormously powerful individual. And from the Eroica on, every piece, every ambitious piece of his anyway, was an extraordinary individual.
Jan Swofford. His new book is Beethoven, Anguish and Triumph. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Arun.